See, I find that everybody has a number, and it's usually an exact number. So what is yours?
More.
That's right, folks. You heard the bell. Markets are open. Welcome to The Closing Bell, your World of Warcraft economy and gold-making podcast. I'm your host, Sushi, and we're here with big episode number 4. Got a lot of topics to talk to you guys about today, including but not limited to taking the guesswork out of gold-making, practicing what you preach as I review past gold-making tips that I actually took my own advice and did. And lastly, we're going to catch up on our Poorhouse to Profits segment. So let me just bail out of this music and we will get right into the show. First up on the show, I wanted to share some results tips with you guys. You know, I give out these tips on past episodes 1, 2, and 3, and I wanted to tell you that I actually do them too. This week I actually did a Nax 25-man run, solo that puppy, and ran it on Sunday. And I ran it mainly for mats for some of those Wrath enchants from last episode that I was talking to you guys about, basically non-MOP enchants. And I was basically going after some Abyss Crystals because they were like 17 or 18 gold on the auction house. I didn't want to buy them, and that would have killed all my profit. So I went after it. It took me about 45 minutes for the run, and my results are as follows. I ended up getting 365 gold in Vendor Grays and the Boss Kill rewards. You know, there's like a dozen bosses in there or 14 bosses in there, something like that. And each one awards, you know, 9 to 15, 20 gold, something like that. So that plus the grays, 365 gold. I did get the giant bone spider sold within like 24 hours. I way undermarked that thing up. I sold it for 200 gold because I just wanted to be the lowest to sell it real fast. But, you know, it sold within 24 hours, which tells me that I probably could have got more. But screw it. Whatever. Sometimes we do those things. Even though all the gold makers say, just be patient, just be patient. Sometimes, you know, we do it too. And we just drop an item on the auction house just to get rid of it, get it out of our bags. I got 100 infinite dust from DE and the greens. Of course, I was going to roll in there on my disenchanter. You know, you could roll in there on a tailor, make some good gold, but tailor and chanter, wow, that'd be awesome. But I don't have that combo, but 100 infinite dust there, and I got 49 abyss crystals. I ended up saving a couple items for transmog that just looked sick. I forget which ones they were, but I was like, I gotta save these, even though, you know, I was in there for gold making purposes. It's like when you go shopping for your family for Christmas, right? And you end up just seeing like a couple things that you want for yourself, and you buy it anyway. So I saved it. And I got 100 to 120 Frostweave cloth. So the total, had I crushed down those Abyss Crystals using Enchanters, you know, Abyss Shatterer, right, is going to shard that Abyss Crystal down into mostly infinite dust, but you'll get some of the Greater Cosmic Essence, which is like worthless, and you'll get some Dream Shards too. But if I would have crushed those puppies down and valuing the dust at like 3 gold each, which is what it sells for, we're looking about 1,925 gold roughly in a 45 minute run. So it's not too bad for you guys out there and gals that don't mind doing a little bit of farming, you know. But I actually had fun, you know, just like going in there and doing the positive negative guy, you know. Remember what a headache that guy was in a raid group. And then when you're by yourself, you just stay on one side of the boss. So that was pretty cool. So I rocked that out on Saturday. And I created some scrolls. It was mostly like weapon enchant scrolls from Wrath. Like, you guys remember Berserking Enchant. I was looking back at my spreadsheet that I talked about last show. And I slapped Berserking Enchant on my level 27 Rhett Pally. And I had Dancing Steel on that heirloom. So I sent the heirloom, you know, back to my 90. And I overwrote the freaking Dancing Steel and put the Berserking on there. And it's actually a slightly more powerful enchant, and it's cheaper. So I crafted a couple of those. I crafted a couple of the, like, haste. I forget if it's haste to bracers or haste to boots. I think it's called speed or something like that. I'll have to go back and look. But I crafted some of those. No results in on sales yet. I can talk about that next show. But I am practicing what I preach, not just telling you guys about it. So, doing pretty good there with those little, you know, those little loose change type tips. The big topic for today's show, though, is taking some of the guesswork out of gold making. And what I mean by that is analyzing a market, analyzing your market or a potential market. And so what I like to do at this point is just go ahead and just jump right in. You know how I like to do. I don't like to do a lot of chit-chat about Weekend WoW and stuff. I do that on other shows. I'm going to love it doing it there. But I like to just jump right into the topic. You guys are here to listen to gold making and gold making tips and strategies. So here we go. Like I said, big topic, taking the guesswork out of gold making. And I've got a little plan set forth for you guys. Now, in my discussion about analyzing a market, I thought to myself, do I want to just pick a random server and analyze that market? Do I want to just pick a name out of a hat? And I thought, you know what? No. I'm going to do Airy Peak. Now, I know you might think this is cheating because I know the market. I know a lot about the market, actually, after being on this market for a year. I'm not going to look at it from that standpoint. I'm going to look at it from a data standpoint. And the first step, and you guys have heard me talk about this before, is heading on over to wow.realmpop.com. And so that's what I did. And that's step one. Now, if you're not on Airy Peak and you want to check out Earthen Ring, or you want to check out Illidan, or you want to check out Storm Rage, or whatever you're on, you can follow along while you're listening to the show and or take notes and do it later. Head on over to realmpop.com. Now, the first thing you do on the front page of the website is you select your realm. And that's going to pull up the entire realm, both Horde and Alliance. And that's going to give you basically your wide-angle lens view. Now, Airy Peak is 73.3% Alliance and 40.8% female characters. Another little stat on there, which is interesting because, you know, when you're looking into sexy transmog and things like that, paying attention to the male-female balance as you go through the different level sectors, 10 to 20, 20 to 30, so on and so forth, you can extrapolate out of that. There's 60,499 total characters, and I'm going to mainly be focusing on the Alliance. That's the home of the CTR Guild and community, so I'm going to focus on that for the rest of the numbers. But one thing that I did pull out of this pie chart is 73.3% Alliance, according to the website. That was a little shocking to me. I thought we were a little closer to like 90% Alliance. So there's a, you know, 26% in change Horde side over there. And on a future episode, we'll talk about my endeavors on the Horde side and my enterprise over there. But we're not going to go into that right now, mainly because I'd like to make some more gold on the Horde side before I tell you guys all my secrets and you guys all come over there and start being my competitors. But we'll talk about that later. Okay, so once we've selected our alliance on the pie chart, we can go into a few different things. You can check out all the different races. You can check out all the different classes. And then further down on the list, you can, or further down on the web page, you can actually select by level. Like I was saying, 10 to 20, 80 to 90, 85 to 90, whatever you want. You can select out the different segregations there. And what I've done in preparation for the show is created an Excel spreadsheet that has all the different classes, the different armor types, and the percentages of these different categories in different segments. And that's mainly what we're going to be discussing here. I start out from level 10 to 20 with all my different classes, Hunter, Druid, Rogue, Warrior, Mage, Shaman, Monk, etc., etc. And what I find as I've segregated this out is from the 10 to 20 bracket on Airy Peak Alliance, 28% of the classes are cloth wearers, 55% are leather wearers, 18% male, and you can't wear plate until level 40, so that's obviously zero. There are 5,761 toons between level 10 and level 20. I didn't do zero to level 10 because I wanted to exclude bank alts and characters that people just never really got into, and I felt like I could safely do that by excluding level 1 to 10. So looking at those toons, a couple things pop out at me. Number one, 55% of the characters currently between level 10 and 20 on Airy Peak are leather-wearing characters. That's pretty staggering. That's a big chunk of people, you know, 55%. So I started thinking to myself, you know, what could the person that is a beginner gold maker, how could they look at this data and how could they start making gold from it? So, you know, if you're a beginner, I would say potentially, you know, go farming up Ragefire Chasm. You know, just take your mount, fly right into Orgrimmar, and, you know, if you're a paladin, just bubble until you get into the dungeon. You want to be a little safer, you know, run dead mines, you can run Wailing Caverns. You can look for gear, but you're really looking for the leather gear, right? You know, you can do cloth and in male as well. But the leather gear, I think, is what's going to probably sell a little bit better, especially when we're talking on Aerie Peak, and particularly things with agility. And why do I say agility? Because when I look into the statistics on the class balance on the pie chart there, we got 16% of characters between level 10 and 20 are hunters. Another 12% are druids, 11% rogues. So we got a good percentage of the leather wearing population being potentially agility users. I know druids can use int as well, but got a lot of agility, got a lot of leather going on there. There's also maybe some crafting opportunities for you there in the level 10 to 20 bracket. Dark leather boots are a +5 agility boot. That's a level 15 boot. It could be a lot of competition. I haven't looked into the market specifically, but if you were the only person crafting those leather boots or potentially a leather belt, that would be something great to look into. In fact, just before the show, I ran a search for leather items in this bracket, and I got a belt for 59 silver that I've marked up to 199 gold because it's got 4 stamina and 5 agility on it. And, well, maybe some of you out there might think, you know, that's a ripoff. If you're level 10 to 20 and you really, honestly, if you've got heirlooms or not, you don't need a green belt. You can do fine with a white belt until you can win something from a dungeon. But if you're in a situation like I talked last episode where, you know, you're trying to be the dungeon hero with the best DPS, or you're trying to go in PvP and you just want those specialty items that have the best stats you can get between level 10 and 20, you're going to pay for it. I'm sorry. You know, it's not personal. It's just gold making. So I think 199 gold is a fair price point for a leather belt, leather gloves, leather feet, leather bracers that's in that low level category. Another thing you can do if you're like a medium level gold maker and you're not in the mood to go farm old dungeons from, you know, whatever. One of the things you can do using the Trade Skill Master add-on is in your shopping tab, which just comes default, you just simply type in the word armor / leather / 10 / 20. And that's going to pull up all the leather armor between 10 and 20. And it's just a nice, simple, easy way to just type that in. And you can actually do that for anything. You can do that for eye levels by simply, let's say you were looking for, you know, Cataclysm greens or something. You could type in, you know, armor / the level you're interested in / eye 289 or something like that. So there's a lot of hidden functionality in Trade Skill Master shopping and the whole add-on suite. As a whole that are in there that you might not know about. And so, you know, to you folks out there that are like, well, I don't use TSM, you know, it's too complicated. I would seriously recommend just downloading TSM and its individual modules. Now, the TSM add-on itself does nothing. Like I said, it's just a framework to allow you to import these other add-ons, but it just kind of hangs out in the background, and it's not going to affect the way you do business or the way you play the game. The only way to really bring it up is just type / TSM to bring it up. If you never type that, it's just going to hang out in the background, and you can continue to use Auctioneer if that's what you're comfortable with, or God forbid if you're just using like the Blizzard Auction House interface. But there's a number of things I'm going to talk about a little later in the show that are going to utilize TSM. And if you're not an expert or you just don't know anything about it, I would seriously urge you to just go ahead and install it in all the different modules, because there's so many things you can do to use TSM without actually using any operations or any groups or anything like that. Obviously, it's better if you learn how to do that. But having it installed is sometimes your first step, your first barrier to entry of learning how to use the add-on. So that was a quick aside. I want to continue with the Excel spreadsheet that I made here for the Wild Ash Realm Pop analysis here. We continue to go down, and we get into the level 31 to 40 bracket, and still 52% of the classes are leather wearers, up from 49% in the previous bracket. So literally from level 10 to level 40, half your players are wearing leather. So, you know, if you're in Aerie Peak right now, if you get a leather belt out of Shadowfang Keep, or you get a leather belt out of Scarlet Halls or leather gloves or something like that, don't just go posting that for 4 or 5 gold because you just think it's a stupid green. Those items have value, especially if they're agi leather. When you get into 31 to 40 bracket, cloth does step up quite a bit. However, in the 31 to 40 bracket, the total amount of characters tends to fall. It falls from about 6,000 characters that are level 10 to 20 down to about 3,600 and continues to fall into the level 41 to 50 bracket at 3,300 characters. It seems like that later vanilla really tapers off. People, you would think people would like just park tunes there because it was daunting, but actually it's the contrary. It seems like once people are getting into the 30s, 40s, and into 50, things start picking up for them as they start seeing the Outland on the horizon, and they really get trucking, and they start getting into the Outlands, which is where things kind of pick up a little bit. There's like 4,000 characters sitting in the Outlands right now on Airy Peak, and that is also where the distribution of the different armor types kind of tends to change, mostly because of Death Knights. When Death Knights come into the picture probably on any realm, but on Airy Peak, they all of a sudden make up 50%, roughly 50% of the characters on that realm. And so that's like 50% plate wearers, basically. So, you know, your Death Knights, they come pre-geared kind of out of the gate, but that gear really only lasts through Burning Crusade. So as you're starting to get into Wrath of the Lich King, you get into a situation where Death Knights have had that starting gear that's all been blue that they haven't really needed to or have to replace. And now they're starting to get into Wrath. And whether they're leveling with heirlooms or not, they still have those entry-level blue pieces from that starting zone. And you're getting into Wrath, and that's where there's some opportunities there. As you're starting to enter into Wrath, you get some of the higher item level, and you can start looking at some of the plate items that are in that category of level 68, 69, 70, 71, 72, all in that little area. Now, I'm not saying that's going to be a market where you can, buy for 5 or 6 gold and sell for 300, but you might be able to take something that you would have vendored or sold for 7 gold and mark it up to 100 gold. Or if it's got like strength, crit, expertise, something decent on it, strength plate with some good off stats, you might mark it up to 199 or 299 for a glove or a belt or something like that. So that's definitely something you guys can look into. Going further into the chart here, we got about 12% of players on Airy Peak right now that are basically locked into Cataclysm. From the 81 to 85 sector here, we got 12.6. That's the outside of level 90s, that's by far the biggest category of people that are probably quit the game during or after Cataclysm, and they're basically hanging out there. So it's a little hard to look at data here in that sector because we don't know how many of those players are just kind of camped out back in Cataclysm zones or whatever. Moving on to the level 86 to 89, the Mists of Pandaria bracket, we're seeing a very even distribution of armor types there, with the exception of mail. Mail is down at 18%, while we have leather and cloth in the 20s and plate at 33%. So I know I'm talking specifically about Airy Peak here, but you can obtain this data very easily. You don't even have to create a spreadsheet or really write it down. You can just kind of look at it and just eyeball the pie charts. But in the mop zones right now, on Airy Peak, we got about 33% of people that are still plate. However, it is our single lowest quantity of characters. We only have 2,900 characters. So this data can also help you maybe look out for areas, maybe look out for pitfalls. If we're seeing the least amount of people in this area, that's your least amount of customers for items in the 86 to 89 gear category. So you might want to maybe test the waters before jumping in and investing in a bunch of Mist of Pandaria leveling greens and stuff like that, especially since now, you can purchase them from any one of the vendors. So take a look into that. And then finally, as we get into level 90 characters here, 26% of the population on Airy Peak is a level 90, which, I guess that's about right. When I first looked at it, I thought, oh man, I thought, at least about half of people are going to be 90. But upon, second thought, it's like, okay, 26% of people are 90s. What that tells me more than the 26% is it tells me 74% are not 90, which means 74% of the auctions of the gold making opportunities that are out there are going to be non-item enhancement and non-max level based items. And I hope I don't sound like a broken record on this podcast when I'm talking to you guys about old school crap and, you know, hustling with bottlenecks and this, that, and the other. Don't get me wrong. I do a ton of Mr. Pandaria item enhancements, you know. I mean, right now, I've got tons of gems, PvP gear, flasks, potions, shoulder enchants, all that crap. I do all that crap because, you know, if you're a max level character and you got max level professions, why not? You know, I mean, if it's profitable, go ahead and make it. But for you guys out there that don't have all the professions or maybe aren't interested in the competition and the campers and the people like me and like others that are using TSM and can post hundreds of auctions in seconds while you're sitting there posting by hand, if you don't want to deal with that, you know, you got a very large 74% customer base that's basically from level 10 to level 89. So that's probably about as much as I wanted to go into there on the spreadsheet. You know, I just did this fairly quickly, just making sure my numbers were accurate. I don't have the spreadsheet particularly online. I made an Excel document on my computer. But if you're interested in it, I can either post it. I have like a little blog site up that I never post on, or you know, I could email it to you or something like that. Which actually brings me to a topic here. I have an email address now. closingbellpodcast@gmail.com. It's just for the show. If you guys want to email me like questions about links or ideas or anything like that, I'd be happy to answer them. It's just closingbellpodcast@gmail.com. No funky spelling or anything like that. And then you guys are also welcome to tweet me directly to the show at @theclosingbell on Twitter. And I would, some of you guys have already started following me. I'd be more than glad to, you know, start communicating with you about just gold making stuff there. So that'd be cool if you guys wanted to check out that stuff. One of the other things I wanted to talk about before we leave, you know, taking the guesswork out of gold making is I wanted to talk about an add-on called Trade Skill Master Info. Okay. And this isn't an add-on that's developed by Bart and Sapu, the makers of TSM. This is someone else that's basically developed this add-on. But Trade Skill Master Info, it basically allows you to shift right-click an item, and it brings up a special window that if I were to shift right-click, let's say, Living Steel Bar, it would bring up every single item that's craftable with Living Steel Bar. If I were to shift right-click Enchanted Thorium Bar, for example, it would bring up every item that's crafted every item that uses Enchanted Thorium Bar in it. Even items that aren't in the game anymore. And that's maybe one of the downsides to it. You have to actually look up something to see if something looks weird. You can look it up on WoWhead and it says not in the game. But the thing I love about this add-on is for some of you gold makers out there that are, you know, maybe leveling an alt or roaming around Old World or something like that, or maybe you skipped Wrath or you skipped Cataclysm, you came back from OP, you don't know what something does. You don't understand the demand. And actually, Steed was talking about this on his show this week, Late Night with Steed. He was talking about, you know, knowing why, the importance and the power of knowing the demand, knowing why someone needs it, and how badly they need it will help you determine your price and how much people are willing to pay. A case in point is I was leveling this priest that I'll talk to you about here in the next segment, and I was hanging out in Un'Goro Crater as a skinner. And you guys know what, you guys remember Un'Goro, whether you liked it or not, it was kind of a cool place. There's dinosaurs running around, there's like velociraptors that are like, you know, just like crazy dinosaurs everywhere. And there's these big devil saurs that roll through, you know, T-Rex style. They're about two or three times bigger than the other dinosaurs. They're not too hard to kill now, you know, with all the heirlooms and stuff. But I rolled up to one of these guys and killed it, and I went to go skin it, and it had devil sore hide, I think it was. It was either devil sore leather or devil sore hide. And I skinned it, and I thought, okay, cool. I used my shift right click and clicked it, and was like, okay, this only crafts a couple of obscure items. They are still in the game. I'm going to go hunt down some of these devil sores. So I killed about like six or seven, maybe eight more of the things as I was roaming around questing. I made sure to prioritize skinning them. And when I got back to the auction house, I thought to myself, you know what? There's none of these on the auction house right now. There's got to be some crazy person out there that's hunting down some weird transmog or some item for a molten core at level run or something. I'm going to post these things at like 45 gold. So I posted them all. I posted like all eight or nine of them at 45 gold each. And within the next day, they sold. And, you know, that's like, I could have gotten really lucky there, and I probably did, but that could have been an item I could have posted for 3 gold and just been like, okay, you know, never batted an eye. I'll never go back to Angoro again. You know, unless obviously I'm farming for like that little pet that I talked about, or maybe some arcane crystals and thorium ore. But now that I know that these things can sell for like 35 or 45 gold, I'll go back there, man. I mean, especially as I get more powerful on this character, I'll go back there and I'll skin those devil sores. So trade skill master info is definitely you guys should have and should be using. Like I said, even if you're not using trade skill master, the whole suite, you're not using operations, you're not using groups, it's too daunting. Just anyone can shift right click and it will tell you as you run through these old raids looking for pets through Karazhan or wherever, these obscure items that, you know, used to be popular in the game for crafting, and you know, they're just not available right now, and you've got one and you can sell it for 100 gold. So check out that add-on, guys. The other add-on I wanted to talk to you guys about is another Trade Skill Master add-on that's not an official Trade Skill Master add-on. It's called Trade Skill Master Profit Maximization. There may be other add-ons like it. This is just the one I use, and basically what it does is it allows you to scan with another add-on like Auctionator or Auctioneer. And what it'll do is it'll import the live data from that scan and will help you update your crafting costs in your crafting panel, your TSM crafting panel. And if you're using the TSM crafting panel, like, it's got the tabs at the top. One says like profit, one says the item cost, like how much the mats are going to cost you to craft, crafting costs basically. And then the other one will say like the sales price. And what I've noticed is sometimes that data, especially over the last month since things have been a little wonky with the desktop application, I've noticed that data isn't always accurate. I went to go craft some enchants a couple days ago, and it was telling me a lot of things were not profitable enough to craft. Like, it was saying that, you know, Pandaren's step enchant wasn't craftable. And I go look at my crafting cost and just compare it, eyeball it, and it's got spirit dust. It's saying my cost on spirit dust is like 2 gold, 45 silver. Well, I'm buying spirit dust for like 80 silver, you know? And so ever since I installed this Trade Skill Master profit maximization, it seems like my crafting costs are much more up to date. And while there are ways to get into the guts of TSM and like augment and create functions for what your crafting costs are, I'm not a uber TSM expert. I just don't know how to do it. And, a lot of the higher end guys that make the videos and stuff, you know, they give you good videos on how to get started and how to get going, but I have yet to see someone make like expert level, here's how to use some of the higher end functions on TSM. So I just don't know how to do that. But that Trade Skill Master profit maximization is a kind of a hands-free, don't need to configure it add-on that I think works really great. Now, the last thing I want to talk about in taking the guesswork out of gold making is the Undermined Journal. And it's no big secret. You know, it's a website that I talk about all the time. Other gold makers talk about all the time. But if you don't have the Undermined Journal bookmarked on your Google Chrome or your Firefox or your Internet Explorer, if you're using that, you really should. You know, that's something you should be checking every day, probably as you're logging in or before you log in. I know we all have our routines, but getting into a routine of popping up the Undermined Journal and seeing kind of what's going on your realm will save you probably 20 or 30 minutes at the auction house, because it takes a lot longer to get in game, get to the auction house, then a couple of your buddies whisper you, you got to open your mailbox, there's 180 mail in there, you got to reload your UI 10 times. It saves you a lot of time by just looking at this at a glance, out of game webpage to see kind of what's going on. Like, for example, you know, I'm here right now, I'm on the Undermined Journal Airy Peak, and I'm looking around and I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, if I was going to make a move on something, you know, we're coming into the weekend. I'm recording this on Thursday, February 16th, you know, it'll probably come out to you guys tomorrow on Friday. Moving into the weekend, I'm thinking, you know, what should I make a move on for maybe some gold making opportunities? You know, let's check Gathered. You know, let's check Gathered and see what kind of Gathered items are undervalued right now that people are going to be using on the weekend to level their professions, right? So I'm looking in, I picked skinning because as I'll talk about in a second, I'm going to be skinning. I'll be talking about skinning on the Poorhouse to Profits, and I look, oh, look here, Devil Sore Leather on Airy Peak. There's two of them, 649. I know I just sold that on the other server for significantly more. You know, that might be something I might buy up. I'm rolling down here to Thick Leather. It takes like 410 of them to get through leatherworking.
And when I look at thick leather, there's only 380 of them on the auction house starting at a gold each. So that might be something I buy out a couple hundred of and repost. You know, if one guy comes through trying to level leatherworking and there's not even the 410 of them that he needs on the auction house, what if two people come through looking for thick leather? You know, that might be a nice flip. And you can do that for every category, whether it's gathered or whether it's crafted. I can go look over here on crafted and say, you know what, this weekend I'm going to dip my toes in that crafted PvP market. I heard about the new season of PvP that's coming in a couple weeks, and I want to make sure at least I have all the old recipes so that if we have new recipes coming out, I'll have those too, or have the ability to learn those. So you can check that out. You can go over to blacksmithing, leatherworking, tailoring, check out the crafted PvP markets and see how many people are in that market. Is that a market I should enter? Is there going to be too much competition, or is there not enough competition I can enter that market and be successful? So bookmark the Undermined Journal and take a look at it every day. Not to mention the fact that, you know, you can check out the great deals and oftentimes stumble into a nice mount or transmog or pet or something like that. Now, the final segment of the show this week is a follow-up. This is part two of Poorhouse to Profits. And I talked about Poorhouse to Profits last week. This was this episode was January 27th, so it was about 9-10 days ago. And on January 27th, I had 127 gold from selling some vendor items. I had some communication from the listenership. Sean Me at the 00 Shin on Twitter, he tweeted me and said, "Hey, Sushi, don't forget about copper rods. He's selling them for 85 gold on his server." I tried that, sold a couple rods for about one for 9 gold, one for 14. Couldn't quite get the 85 gold on the server, but sold a couple of those. And with my 127 gold or 129 gold or whatever I started with, by Friday the 31st, I was able to make 2,253 gold. That was my liquid gold plus auction posted. And the way I did it was I started out just doing the basic questing to get the gold. I flipped the vendor items like I told you guys about. It's not a lot of work involved in restocking those things and reposting them. But once I had a couple hundred gold, I did one final post of those items and I ended up vendoring them all just because of the bag space. You know, I didn't have money to buy a lot of new bags, so I just wanted the free bag space. And as I started leveling up, I really wanted to try to pick a profession that I thought could make gold all the way up. And I picked jewel crafting, and I quickly, with just some, since I had mining already on the character, I quickly just grabbed some copper bars, leveled jewel crafting to 50, and bought up literally every single piece of tin ore I could possibly buy until I had almost zero gold, and prospected the hell out of all of that stuff. In the process of leveling jewel crafting to level 50, I was able to make a couple rings. I made some woven copper rings. I sold three or four of them for like 9 gold, but the malachite necklaces and the other stuff really just didn't sell. And after a couple days, I thought, you know what? If this was just me doing it, I could do it like this. But if I'm trying to do a show every like week or 10 days for you guys, it's not going to be interesting enough to talk about. So after prospecting a ton of tin ore, I ended up dropping it and just picking up skinning. Which I find mining and skinning is a great combo for leveling a character. You know, it levels itself up as you go. And even if you're going to raid later and you want that blacksmithing socket bonus or that jewel crafting bonus, just drop the professions. It's not like it costs you any money or really that much extra time to level them up. I mean, you get a ton of experience for mining nodes. So I really highly recommend that combo, mining and skinning. But in any case, I went ahead with the tin ore shuffle, you know, got all my moss agates. I was selling those for between 14 and 24 gold when I was lucky. Sold a bunch of those. Sold a bunch of the other accessory gems. Jade seemed to do pretty well, just normal jade. They don't seem to be very common. You know, they're selling, you know, 9 gold or something like that. So I basically used that gold to then start getting into some flipping of some things. And the items that I identified, I had this deal with myself. I was like kind of RPing in that I was only going to like flip items that my character had seen. You know, I wasn't going to go like flip trillium ore because my character wasn't even anywhere close. So when I was in the 20s, my deal with myself just for fun, because this is all about fun for me, is it, you know, I'm out in the world, I'm discovering new hides and new mining ore and nodes and things. And once I discovered it and it came on my radar, I instantly entered it into TSM as a group. So, you know, when I discovered aquamarine, I put that in there. When I discovered citrine, I put that in there. And I began to identify these items. And it's actually a pretty decent way to identify items and make gold. If you see that jade is selling for like 1 to 2 gold and you know that you've sold them for 9, I began like buying out all the jades and reposting them at 9. And it works really well for items that there just aren't a lot of on the auction house. And it seems like through prospecting tin ore, jade was like the thing that I got the least of. Whereas things like shadow gem, you know, those are everywhere. You know, you don't want to like get into buying too many of those, try to like corner that market. It's just futile. So I started it that way, and I came across a couple decent farming spots like Hillsbrad Foothills. There's a little snowy patch up there where there's a ton of Yetis hanging around. There's a lot of tin ore. There's more tin ore there than probably anywhere else in the game by those Yetis. And you just do this big circle, and by the time you've gone 360 degrees around, all those nodes have spawned. The Yetis have spawned. You can skin those Yetis for heavy leather, medium leather. You know, there's silver ore. And as I would discover the heavy leather, I would start kind of resetting markets here and there within heavy and medium leather. And then when I got to thick leather, I did it on that server as well. And it worked pretty well for me. A lot of people just really deeply undercut and severely undervalue these leather. You know, they're like, I just killed the mob. I had to do it for experience. And, you know, they'll put it up for like 40 silver and I'll mark it up to 2 gold. And that seemed to work pretty well. I was able to get up to a couple hundred gold that way. The other tip I have for you guys, while you're leveling, make sure you have an NPC scanner add-on in your add-on packages. You can use Silver Dragon. I think that's more of an MOP deal, but you can use NPC scan. There's even some other add-ons that have like special plugins just for vanilla or just for BC or whatever. Make sure you have an add-on with a vanilla plugin. And a map overlay. So you can see where these rares spawn. There are a lot of, WoW Classic or Vanilla Classic rares, elite rares out there. And a lot of these guys drop some of the best transmog greens. And even some of the, around the undead starting zone, there was a rare out there that dropped just a normal green item, but it was a leather belt that was equipable at level 8 and it had a +2 agi on it, right? Might not seem like a big deal. I ended up selling it for like 99 gold, because like somebody was like a level 8, 2 agis, 2 extra agis, like a huge deal. So that was a nice little score there. But there are other items, like I got a couple items out of the Cabalist set that ended up selling for 199 gold from these rares. So, if you're leveling anyway, that's definitely a good add-on to have. Another nice little farming spot I found was the Badlands. In the Badlands, behind New Kargath, which is the Horde flight point, there's a little place called Nyxandra's Broodling. Or like Nyxandra's like little sex palace where she makes all her little broodlings or whatever. And there's like 100 of these little whelps. And if you were a level 90 that was like leveling up skinning fresh, or you just wanted to like farm up some thick leather to sell, you could like grab a shadow priest and go in here, stand right in the center and drop a halo and literally have like 15 minutes of skinning to do. It's like there's literally like 50 to 100 of these little whelpings around. You can get like all the thick leather you can imagine like really fast. So that's a really cool spot. The other thing I was doing to make gold was some of the bars. And like when you're a miner, not only can you mine, but you can smelt as well, right? So I wanted to utilize this profession since I was so unsuccessful with making gold at low-level jewel crafting, obviously outside of, prospecting the gems. I wanted to, utilize the profession. So I started smelting steel bars, right? And iron. A lot of people that have, iron ore, the ore will sell for more than the bars, I think because people that are leveling mining will buy the ore and smelt it into a bar to use it for skill-ups. And the iron bars are like this byproduct that go in the auction house for like 14 silver, 20 silver, like really, really cheap. So you combine an iron bar plus a piece of coal, which is a vendor item, one of the items that I was selling, to get the early capital, and creating these steel bars, it's used primarily in blacksmithing, but and you only need like 50 of them in blacksmithing, but creating 50 bars and putting them up in 10 stacks at, you know, two or maybe three gold. I was able to sell every single one I crafted. I should probably get back on that character and continue to make more. I just moved into bigger and better things, so I kind of like forgot to craft more. But that did really well. And bronze bars, man. I'm telling you guys, I have made a 694 gold profit off of just bronze bars in the last week because people don't want to like take the time to combine a single copper bar and a single tin bar into a bronze bar. And bronze bars are not to be underestimated. I mean, 150 of them are needed for blacksmithing. 120 of them are needed for jewel crafting. And a lot of times, like I said, tin bars and copper bars are this byproduct of people that are leveling mining and just using it to smelt for the skill points. So, you know, check into that. Moving further, man, I smelted a hell of a lot of mithril and thorium. My single greatest gold gain profit-wise was just taking mithril ore, smelting into mithril bars, man. You need 320 mithril bars for JC, and you need like 420 for blacksmithing. Might be the other way around, but somewhere around there. And so people need a lot of mithril. It's very abundant. It's easy to get. But, you know, just turning it into bars is definitely awesome. Flipped a lot of the other gems. Flipped a lot of huge emeralds, a lot of moss agates, a lot of lesser moonstones. Flipped a lot of leather. One thing that I did kind of go outside of my little, like, RP thing was flipping crystallized earth, shadow, and fire, and basically converting them into their eternal shadow, eternal fire, eternal earth forms. A lot of people on this server were like really undervaluing the crystallized items and not realizing, or, you know, not checking that, you know, 10 eternal earth that they're selling for a gold each could create, or 10 crystallized earth could create an eternal earth that would sell for 25 gold. I sell eternal earths for 25 gold all day long. You just need a ton of them. And they're kind of annoying to get now. And then the last thing that I did was I bought up kipperite in like weird sizes. Like someone will post like 37 kipperite, or another guy will post like 7 kipperite. And as long as they were under 2 gold, 50 silver, I bought up all the kipperite all day long. And I just posted them back in like convenient sizes to jewel crafters that are interested in it for prospecting. So I ended up buying a couple hundred kipperite. And even though kipperite you can post in 200 stacks, I just posted in 20 stacks. I just pretended like it was ghost iron ore of a different color, and ended up selling a hell of a lot of that stuff as well. So I hope this hadn't been too boring, me talking about the specifics. I know a lot of you guys out there, you know, you guys are mid-level to pro gold makers, and you know all this stuff already. But I would imagine there's a good amount of the listenership out there that kind of just needs an idea. So I really don't mind talking about specific stuff, even if you're going to, you know, maybe come into Airy Peak and take my thick leather idea for the weekend and flip that around, because I want to give people the ideas to stimulate thought and maybe even some original thought on their own gold making ideas. But the long and short of it is that we're sitting here today, and I have just under 10,000 liquid gold on the character from my poorhouse to profits. I have 9,566 gold that's liquid, and I have 36,000 gold worth of auctions. And we're not talking auctions like crazy transmog that maybe someday I'll sell for 600 gold. When we were talking, like, I have like 1200 silk cloth on the auction house right now. I have a bunch of, thorium bars and, a bunch of other crap on there, like stuff that's like goods that people actually might buy. So my deal was every day I tried to drain my gold down to zero every day until 2 days ago. And now I'm not going to be like buying a lot of stuff to try to make more. I just want to try to allow the things that I have already to sell. And I'll come to you guys again next week with a report. I had a little trouble with my TSM data because I lost like my WTF folder in a computer crash, like right in the middle of this thing. So I'll have some more TSM data that I can talk about next week. And I'll tell you what my liquid gold amount was after 2 weeks. So that's that. That's it for the poorhouse to profit segment. And as the show's gone on quite a bit longer than my normal 30-minute format, I do want to end the show with a couple of shout-outs. I want to give a shout-out to a guy named Orcasm. That's Orcasm, people. Okay, chill. he whispered me last night, and he's like, "Hey, man, this was on the server in question, which I will release next week when I did my closing on it. But on my little project server, he whispered me. He goes, "Hey, man, are you Sushi from the Gold Podcast?" I go, "Yes, sir, one and the same." And he goes, "Oh yeah, I listened to it today." And this was to me, it was just a random person that was a listener of the show on a random server. So that was kind of crazy to me, man, for someone to just like randomly whisper me because they recognize the name. Of course, I called myself the same thing. You know, I called myself the same thing on the new server. So he was able to recognize me. But shout out to you, man. Thanks for listening. I think that's awesome. Thanks for whispering me. Like, you made my night. That was cool. And then also shout out to Sol de Flay. You guys know Sol de Flay. He ran me through Eye of Eternity and Sarth 3D on this character. I've gotten this character up to level 80 in the last 10 days, and I'm going to be doing a Herald of the Titans run with some guys. And so he ran me through last night at 4 a.m. to get like some gear for this run that's going down this weekend. And man, you guys should have seen how fast he killed Sarth 3D on his hunter. He rolled in there, didn't kill any of the trash, walked in, shot the thing. I was confused because all the achievements popped up. And, you know, I would never lie or exaggerate to you guys. He killed it in less than 3 seconds. It was probably like 2.5 seconds. No exaggeration. It was just like 2-3 shots as a hunter, and Sarth was dead. And it was huge because I got a Sarth's bag on this alt because I didn't have any cool bags. And I got like 3 pieces of gear for the Herald of the Titans run. So Solfly, if you ever listen to this, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate you. That's awesome. Helped me out at like 4 a.m. Let's close up the show here, guys. I've been Sushi for the Closing Bell. You know, I mentioned my Twitter at the Closing Bell and my email, closingbellpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks so much for listening, guys, and have a good one.